Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing the program. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Tuesday, January 3rd, 2023. This is the anniversary edition of our program. 12 full years on the radio now, and now we launch into Lucky 13. Begin year 13 with the radio project and the 35th year now on Tucson Television and Radio, thanks to all of you, all of our friends who have passed along congrats on Facebook and social media. Appreciate it very much. The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our live line will be our opening session today as we talk with Dennis Hoffman, who closely studies the regional economy in Arizona. Professor Dr. Hoffman conducts economic research on most major businesses across the state, several state agencies, and numerous foundations. He's the director of the L. William Seidman Research Institute at the W.P. Carey School of Business and director of ASU's Office of University Economist. His work includes the construction and maintenance of the tax revenue forecasting model used by the state of Arizona's Executive Budget Office each year since 1982. Dr. Hoffman, Happy New Year to you, sir.
Bill, same to you. Great to be with you and all the folks in Tucson today. Happy New Year.
Always Happy New Year. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. We will have the State of the State coming up next Monday. What will be the economic look that the lawmakers will be getting from you, your report, to the Executive Budget Office?
Well, Bill, the economy is holding up very, very well so far. I have to say so far, because there are some gray clouds or dark clouds on the horizon, but we don't know if they're going to part and, you know, sunshine will resume, or whether or not they'll kind of take a foothold. And everybody is kind of waiting and watching on that. But to date, I find that all aspects of the Arizona economy are doing really very well, with the exception, of course, of real estate in our residential housing situation, which has certainly changed dramatically from, say, a year ago.
Has it cooled down, or has it cooled as much as the rest of the country? It's still fairly warm, isn't it?
Well, real estate is in terms of prices, we're about at the same price levels we were a year ago. So appreciation over the last year in terms of median price of homes is zero. We have not had any inflation. What's kind of more concerning, I think, is the dramatic decline in transactions. So for those folks that base their incomes on housing transactions, that would be agents, adjusters, folks in the mortgage industry, inspectors, et cetera, you know, times must be getting really pretty tough.
Well, what about the inflationary factor? I understand Arizona, the city of Phoenix, pretty much the leader in the nation in inflation. What do you have to say about that, Dr. Hoffman?
Well, the data are through October. Inflation's still running pretty high in Arizona, but I would submit that when the new inflation numbers come out for the state, and that'll be in about a week or so, I'm not sure we're going to be number one anymore, Bill. That real estate number has it certainly come down for us, and gasoline prices are now back. You can find gas for under $3 a gallon, as you well know, in Tucson. And, I just think that things may be improving on the inflation front pretty dramatically for the state, but we will see.
It sounds like your dog has a say in what's going on here.
Yes, apologize for that.
Oh, no problem. I'm just kidding. Talk a little bit about what are the state budget numbers look like. What are we talking about in the rainy day fund category?
So the state's budget is really very solid right now. Again, the right here and now is really, really good, Bill. The budget stabilization fund is flush. We had a fantastic fiscal 2022. 2023 is holding in there far better than some of us thought it might at this point. It's really doing pretty well. But I think we have to be careful. You know, economists are always looking for the next monster around the next tree. And I think that the concern, Bill, that we need to have is we probably had the highest tax revenue year in the best fiscal situation at the state level in fiscal 2022 than we're going to have for, say, the next 4 to 5 years. So think about it this way. There's a lot of growth coming in the state, a lot of new jobs, a lot of new people. We take in new people every year. But most of us don't think tax revenues in, say, fiscal 26 or 27 will be as high as they were in fiscal 22. So we're going to go 4 to 5 years with tax revenues well below what they were last year. And a lot of that is our dramatic declines in tax rates, which we've passed. And so we're going to see a slowing in the amount of collections. Inflation rates will slow, and our real estate sector will be a lot more sluggish than it was, say, last year. All that is a recipe for lower tax collections to pay for public services. So if you're like me in the public sector, it's going to be challenging, Bill.
You know, you've been, as they say, you didn't get off the bus yesterday, Dennis Hoffman. You've seen a lot of transitions in state government. You've been doing this economic forecasting for the state since 1982. We have a new governor now, a Democrat, the first time this has happened in a decade or so. Is there much change? How do you kind of survey this legislative landscape, Dennis Hoffman?
Well, it'll be interesting because it's an entire picture. It's the legislature and the governor's office. I suspect that they'll be a lot more adversarial than they've been, say, in the last 8 to 12 years or since Governor Napolitano. But you do take me back. My first governor was Governor Bruce Babbitt, and so I've seen many governors come and go. The office that I report to is comprised of some permanent employees. The director changes with the changing of the governor, and we have a new director that's coming in as the appointment of Governor Hobbs. But and we will see how that will all play out. But they're very fiscally cautious in the discussions that we have had. They're eager to address some concerns and some needs in their own agenda, but also very cognizant that they have to work with a legislature that is majority Republican. So it's not unusual to have a split government. Last time we had it was with Governor Napolitano. And, we'll see how all of that unfolds. I think that there will be considerable money available still sloshing around in the system, some of which is still residual from the federal government's injections, by the way. There'll still be some money available for appropriation this year. I think the question will be how cautious does everyone want to be going forward? Hopefully we're done with the tax cuts. I think, we're all beneficiaries to some degree of tax cuts, Bill, but these, this round was really tipped to our high-income individuals. It looked like they were going to get a big tax increase a couple of years ago with Prop 208, but of course, that's gone, ruled unconstitutional. Instead of getting a big tax increase, they got a huge tax cut. And
yeah.
So,
yeah.
If you're a million or two income earner, wouldn't that be nice? But if you're a high income earner and you have your kids in private schools, you've got vouchers for your children and a massive individual income tax cut. So, times are good for some.
Yep. All right. Dennis Hoffman will try to bring you back every couple of months this year. That's one of my resolutions, to get you on even more often. I want to wish you and yours, again, a very happy new year. We'll see how things are going in a couple of months. Thank you, Dennis.
Same to you, Bill, and best to everyone in the old Pueblo.
All right. All right, let's pause right here, talk about our favorite bakery, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. A big happy new year from Steve and the team up at Mona's. They had a very great year, very good year in 2022, hoping for bigger and better things at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are open right now for lunch. They open Tuesday through Saturday, 6:30 in the morning. Sunday they open at 7, and they are now closed on Monday, taking a well-deserved day off. Their website, looking good. Newly revamped website. Beautiful pictures of everything on the menu. MonasDanishBakery.com. Coming up next on the Live Line, Shelley Fishman will kick off the new year. See how the markets are doing with Shelley right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. all made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Shelly Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelly through buckmastershow.com or at shellyfishman.com.
And with us on the live line, Mr. Shelly Fishman, a big Happy New Year to you, Shelly. How are you
happy
doing?
Happy New Year to you and to all our listeners, Bill.
Yeah, well, we are off and running, and not a whole lot has changed on the market. It's Tuesday, and it's a rather down day.
Yeah, but, you know, you're absolutely right. Not a lot has changed. Listening to Professor Hoffman's explanation of the economy in Arizona, that was certainly upbeat, and I agree with just about everything he said, including this business of the difference between short-term and long-term decision-making. We've cut taxes in this state because we had a windfall from the federal government during the pandemic, and now we've got one more year to enjoy that windfall, and then we're going to have shortfalls. And that strikes me as not great policymaking. I'm hoping for better from the new governor.
All right, so as I say, not a lot has changed. The fundamentals as we enter 2023. How do you see the horizon, Shelly Fishman?
Well, let's see where we are. So the high point of last year in terms of the markets was actually the first trading day of the year. So, you know, I don't have to look at highs and lows. I can go from the first day to the last day. And the Dow over that period of time, I'm rounding the numbers here, the Dow is down about 10% for the year. The S&P is down 20% for the year. So if you round that up a little bit, we're in bearish territory. If you round it down a little bit, we're just outside of bearish territory. NASDAQ's down 34% for the year. So that clearly is a hurting index. And the bond market overall is down about 14%. So the bond market was able to kind of cut the difference between the Dow and the S&P. And so what we're doing is we're starting the year at a place that is, a little bit of a hole to dig out of. And we were not seeing a great deal of fundamental change that is going to drive, you know, big decisions. We have the same headwinds this year that we had this current year than we had last year. We have some of the same problems in making decision-making that we had. We've still got, you know, Jay Powell in charge of the Fed, and he still has inflation on his mind as the number one priority. And just because I don't agree with that, so who am I? And so we're dealing with those problems. We're going to deal with the problem of inflation in a fairly aggressive way. He has signaled that, which means that the markets are going to be optimistic in terms of corporate results and pessimistic in terms of the things that are going to get in the way of good corporate results.
Go ahead, Shaw.
Now, that of course, leads to confusion, and confusion is exactly what markets hate.
I want to talk a little bit about some of these challenges, medium and long-range obstacles. Certainly, climate change still with us. You've talked a lot about that in the past. You've talked a lot about income equality. And the cost of health care is right up there,
yeah.
Shelly Fishman.
And those things haven't changed. And you're very right to bring them up because when you get past the short-term stuff, and, I'm sorry, but inflation is a short-term problem, I believe, you have to look at the fundamentals. And the fundamental headwinds for the economy are the four items that you just brushed on. Climate change is very important, not only because of, you know, what it can do to stop the economy dead in its tracks in any given moment with floods and fires and tornadoes and that kind of thing, but the cost of repairing the damage and then preparing for the next damaging storm has proven to be about as bad as you can imagine. It's in the, you know, the tens and maybe even hundreds of billions of dollars. So that's an expense that the economy bears that it would not ordinarily have to bear. So there's that. Income inequality is something that has loomed larger and larger in my mind, because what it does is it sets the country on edge. We now have the, you know, coastal elites versus, you know, the flyover country economies. And the middle class in this country has not really seen a significant increase in their real wages in a very long time. And because of that, they look at the American dream, and they just wonder if that's something that they can ever realize. But then they look at California and New York and Connecticut and Massachusetts, and they seem to be doing pretty well. Why is that fair? And that creates anger and distrust, and we're seeing that in our politics. Healthcare costs. You know, we've got healthcare costs up at around 18% of GDP. The rest of the industrialized world has healthcare costs at around 11 or 12% of GDP, of their GDP, which means that's a 6% spread that we're paying that they're not. And to the extent that we compete with the rest of the industrialized world for markets and for innovation and those kinds of things, then that puts us at a 6-point disadvantage to the rest of the world. When you add that to the obligation we have to defend the world and to spend maybe 6% of our GDP on armaments and on our military, whereas the rest of the world thinks 3% is enough, there's another 3% difference that we can't use to compete, to fix our infrastructure, to make sure that the government is participating as it needs to in advancements in technology and progress. So those are things that are really headwinds. And I've added, and I'm going on and on, I apologize for that, but I've added in the last year understanding the importance of embedded bias against minority groups, because what that does is that makes, to the extent that embedded bias succeeds in keeping people down, it takes an entire resource from the economy that we need, and those people are too busy fighting that bias and trying to survive, and they can't get the educations they need, and they can't really take advantage of what, you know, people who might have some advantages simply because of where they're born or the color of their skin. And so that's a real headwind. It's hard to quantify, but it's real.
Hey, Shelley, before we let you go, have you seen this ad for, quote, must issue life insurance?
Yeah. How can you not see it? So let's talk about that for a second. Insurance is something that many people believe they need, and many people, in fact, do. One of the problems with getting life insurance is that the insurance company will take a look at your health record and make a bet on when you're going to die and how much longer you're going to live based upon your health. Now, there are some companies out there that offer what's called must-issue policies, and they say, we're not going to look at your health conditions at all when we issue a policy, which means that their risk acceptance to write a policy for you is much, much higher. Insurance companies are not in the business of losing money, and so that means that the cost per $1,000 of insurance that they are going to charge you, and keep in mind that goes up as you get older, is much higher for those companies for those policies. So Is it possible for them to issue those policies? Yes, it is. Is it the first thing you should look at when you take a look at getting a life insurance policy? And the answer is no, nay, never, no more. You must take a look at competing offers, some of which will actually underwrite your health before they make you an offer. Don't take the easiest offer to get. Take the best policy you can. Best way to do that is get an insurance agent who is not tied to one single company, get lots of bids, and then make a selection based upon the offers that you get. And the least expensive offer is never going to be a must-issue policy.
All right, Shell, before we let you go, just a few seconds left. How are you feeling about 2023 for the economy? Pretty good?
I pick up on, again, on what Dr. Hoffman was saying. I feel that the economy is strong, that the indicators on employment and on trade are very, very positive. I worry about the Fed. I worry about the fact that we're having trouble getting the immigration input into the system that we need to have. So there are some things that trouble me, but the fundamentals look awfully good in comparison to prior years. So I continue to be optimistic. I don't know where this market is going. I don't want to make a prediction. I want to wait a couple of months before I do that.
All right.
I think we'll be okay.
Okay, Shell. See you next week. Thank you.
Okay.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, anniversary edition. 12 full years now chalked up, notches on the belt. We're into a lucky year 13 with today's show. So we keep it going. And thanks to all of you who have sent congratulatory notes through social media. Really appreciate all of the thoughts. We have had some great contributors, great partners like Green Things. They do such a great job. Had a great Christmas season over there at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. I was thinking about what might be a kind of a nice addition over at Green Things. They have these Christmas cactuses, which are blooming. They're really, really nice. Might be a kind of a nice way to start your new year. 13-acre site, also home to Zocalo Village and the great merchandise. Imported much of it from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Green Things. As we've turned the calendar, they now begin year 53. 53 years, open daily, Green Things. I mentioned contributors. So proud of the team that we've assembled. Two dozen regular contributors to the show, including our contributor on the environment, Mitch Tobin, director of the Water Desk, which is a journalism initiative at the University of Colorado Boulder, focusing on Western water issues and the Colorado River Basin. Mitch is an award-winning journalist, former environmental reporter for the Napa Valley Register, Tucson Citizen, and Arizona Daily Star. He's the author of the book Endangered, which shows why so many species are at risk of extinction. The book won a gold medal in the Independent Book Publisher Awards. Mitch joins us now on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management from his home base in Southern California. Happy New Year to you, Mitch.
Happy New Year, Bill, and happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. We've got ourselves an atmospheric river up in Northern California. I don't know, when you were up in working at the Napa Valley paper, I don't know if you remembered getting any of those atmospheric rivers. They also call them the Pineapple Express. It brings a lot of tropical moisture from the Central Pacific, just a steady stream of it. Sometimes those rivers can be 1,000 miles and just bringing lots of moisture. But they certainly needed the moisture, but not all in one day. Like the city of San Francisco set, I think it's now an all-time, it's either the all-time record for the most rain in a day, about 5 inches over the weekend, or it may be the second most. But it was a big weather producer up in Northern California.
Yeah, well, when it rains, it pours, I guess. Yeah, atmospheric rivers turn out to be very important for the water supply in California and really other places in the West. I'm based near Durango in Colorado, and actually we've been feeling the effects of that atmospheric river for the past few days and have received several feet of snow here. So that is good news, not only for skiers, but in terms of the water supply, because certainly we've been in a dry period for many, many years. Really, the last two decades or so have been considered a mega drought. And so we really could use all the moisture we can get. As you mentioned, it can be problematic if it comes too intensely all at once. But, you know, we do need big years with healthy snowpacks in order to try to rebound from this very dry period that we've been in, and that has really been affecting the reservoirs in the Colorado River and elsewhere.
What are you hearing about the Sierra Nevada? I know they had a lot of snow out of this, and of course the obvious question, Mitch Tobin, is this going to put a substantial dent in the more than decade-long drought in California for sure, and other parts here of the Southwest?
Well, it helps, but it's going to take a lot more than just one storm. And so if we get a series of these atmospheric rivers or other storms that come through, certainly that will help. And we've seen a little bit of an improvement in terms of the drought conditions in California and in elsewhere. Here in Colorado, the snowpack really jumped in the last week or 10 days because of the snow. But again, the key point to remember is that we've had many, many, many dry years over decades. And so just one storm is not going to do it. However, if we continue to get these storms, it would certainly help. It would certainly help put a damper on the wildfire season that's to come in the spring and summer and fall. And so we can hope that there will be more moisture, but it's going to take a whole lot in order to reverse these long-term trends.
It's very important to note that the snowpack you're getting, and hopefully you'll get a real good snowpack this winter in Colorado, impacts us here in Arizona and on the Colorado River. Please explain that to our listeners.
Yes, well, the Colorado River is very important for the water supply in Tucson and Phoenix and a lot of other places throughout the Southwest. More than 40 million people rely on the Colorado River for drinking water. It also irrigates millions and millions of acres of crops, including a lot of the winter vegetables that you may be eating right now. And, you know, the economic value is tremendous. It's something like $1.6 trillion per year that the river provides because it supplies so many cities and so many people and so much agriculture. And so most of the water that's in the Colorado River originates in the snowpack. And, you know, we talk about these big reservoirs on the Colorado, like Lake Mead and Lake Powell. Well, the biggest reservoir of all is the snowpack, and that sits up there in the winter and then starts to melt in the spring and summer, and that's really what fills up the Colorado River and fills up the reservoirs. And so the more snow that we get, the better the prospects are for more water making it into streams and rivers and reservoirs. But I should say that we've seen this trend in recent years where even if we have a normal year as far as the snowpack, that has sometimes been translating into a significantly below average year in terms of the runoff and the stream flows. And the reason that is because it has been so dry for so long that the soil, in a sense, has a memory, and it really takes a while for it to saturate again. And we also have, with climate change, rising temperatures. That increases the evaporation rate, and the atmosphere is essentially sucking more water off the earth, and less water therefore makes it to the streams and rivers. So in a sense, we need above average snowpack in order to get back to the averages that we're used to. And so, you know, fingers crossed we'll get more snow, but it's going to take certainly more than a couple of storms and more than 1 year to make a dent in this long-term drought, which really people are starting to call more aridification, really a fundamental change in the climate of the region. You know, drought implies that at a certain point it's going to get wet again and the drought will go away. But what we're really seeing is that the Southwest and the Colorado River Basin are drying out, and the normal conditions now are much drier than they used to be.
And we now go in with the turning of the new year into a another tier down on the drought scale and how the Colorado River allocates the water. What is it, second tier A, is that correct?
Yeah, there's a whole system that was set up, contingencies because of this ongoing drought. And the situation has gotten much more dire in the last year or so because the reservoir levels, Lake Mead and Lake Powell, the two biggest reservoirs in the country, have been continuing to go down and down. And so they're both roughly a quarter full. They have not been that low since they were filling. Lake Mead in the 1930s and Lake Powell in the 1950s and 60s. The reservoirs are really in bad shape. And so that has caused the federal government to come in and say to the states that rely on the Colorado River, you better figure out a way to cut back on your water use, because if you don't, we're going to cut you back. And they're doing that because they're really concerned about the levels of these reservoirs, that at a certain point, the water level gets so low that the water does not have a way to pass through the dam and through the turbines to generate hydroelectricity. So that would be a challenge. And even beyond that, it's possible for a reservoir to get so low that the water doesn't even come out of the dam, period. That's called deadpool. That would be a real disaster because if, you know, water can't get out of Lake Powell or Lake Mead, it can't get down to the Central Arizona Project or to the California Aqueduct, and it can't supply the many, many millions of people that rely on it. And so it's clear that this is a crisis because the prospect of running out of hydropower from these dams or not being able to pass water through them really creates huge problems. And so the federal government has signaled that they are going to cut people back if the states that rely on this river do not do it themselves. And so we're now in a bit of a waiting game to see how all of that plays out.
All right. Mitch Tobin, director of the Water Desk, the Journalism Initiative at UC Colorado in Boulder. Thank you, Mitch. Want to wish you and yours a very happy new year. We'll talk to you in a while and see how that, hopefully that snowpack remains pretty good through the winter. Take care of yourself. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Bill. Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. All right. The Buckmaster Show has Pima County Supervisor Chair Sharon Bronson. She's on hold on the live line. She'll join us right after the break. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. A big happy new year, everybody, from our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Makes a great getaway, just about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Lots to do. Check out southwestnewmexico.org for some recreation suggestions, places to stay, places to eat. It's a great getaway. Hope you'll take advantage of it in 2023. We continue with our anniversary edition as we begin today, year 13 here on the radio. Let's welcome Pima County Supervisor's Chair, Sharon Bronson. Supervisor Chair Bronson, how are you?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year to you, Bill.
Thank you very much.
New Year is going to bring us, especially at the local level, some challenges that hopefully will give us some opportunities.
Well, it's been 4 years of this crisis concerning immigrants. Congress and successive presidential administrations have done nothing to solve it and have contributed to force local communities all along the border to carry the incredible burden of sheltering hundreds of thousands of people released into our communities by the federal government. And in Tucson alone, as you know, let me see what the number is. Homeland Security agencies released more than 33,000 asylum seekers in Tucson over just the past 4 months, Sharon Bronson.
You take my breath away. And then how do we pay for it? And at this point, we're using federal dollars. But as you know, those are going away. So then how do we deal with this with our budget? But we have to. That's our job.
Well, short term, we've got, a shelter. It will be up and running, in about 30 to 60 days, converting a former office building into a shelter capable of supporting nearly 400 people. That's over on Drexel Road west of I-19. So federal dollars pay for that, or how does that work, Sharon Bronson?
I think we're looking at that to see who can, but that's not for the asylum seekers. That's to deal with all the homeless issues we are seeing on our streets. So we've got number of challenges. How do we deal with the homeless and the crime that they're causing? And not all of them are doing that. But then we've got the other challenge because we're running out of water. And we're the wastewater provider. But what do we do with climate change? And when we have out so far, we haven't had any real major events this year, but if we do, what happens? And then how do we, our fund balance is running down and it's not going to get any better. You know, the economic news at the national level may be encouraging, but how it trickles down to local governments, who are the governments, whether they're city, county, town, we're the people that end up solving or trying to solve the problem with very limited resources.
Yeah, and then we got another problem, and it's not just Pima County and Tucson. It's people that do not want to get in law enforcement, no matter how much they are paid. This is an issue that's affecting cities from Miami to Seattle and just about everywhere in between. It's just a profession that so many people, Sharon Bronson, want nothing to do with. And I know before the end of the year, you and your colleagues upped the pay for corrections officers over in the jail, but this is going to be a huge issue, ongoing issue.
Very much so. And we'll see if pay solves the problem. I don't think it will. Mm-hmm. I really hope it does, but let me be a little more optimistic. I don't think we need some optimism now. We're seeing all our federal money dry up that we have used to solve some of the problems. Where are the major Pima County? You know, what are our responsibilities? We are responsible for justice and law enforcement, statutorily, health. And that's another issue, you know, that's another challenge. And, you know, we are the only county that has the complete SOAR responsibility for wastewater, only county of the 15. And that costs taxpayers. And at the local level, I don't think we can do much to raise taxes this year because our constituents are hurting. Maybe, Bill, you have a give me a solution, and I'll gratefully take it.
I don't really have any. I mean, it's a very challenging year coming up. The federal funds are going to be drying up. We're halfway through the calendar year, but folks know, most know, that you and your colleagues and county operates on a fiscal year, so we're halfway through the fiscal year. But I know John Lesher, the county administrator, is getting a real early start on this budgeting. And overall, what are you seeing when you're hearing about the budget for 23-24?
At this point, we have a mediocre fund balance, and it will probably decline as our federal funds decline. So that brings us into this next fiscal year. And how do we pay for justice and law enforcement? And we've had deaths at the jail. And why is that? How do we deal with the whole homeless issue? Because that's a health as well as a law enforcement issue. And then more importantly, on the whole, you know, again, if we have anything like climate change that gives us another event, how we are the first responders, how do we pay for it? How do we keep a healthy fund balance? And I have questions. I'm not sure I have answers.
Hopefully we'll get some more good news on economic development. It was a pretty good year for that, wasn't it, 22?
Yes, we actually had a stellar year. That's the good news on the horizon. And I think we will continue to see that. We are really positioned well here in Pima County with our, whether it's transportation logistics or it's aerospace and defense or biotech, we have a great opportunity to bring more companies in.
And then the battery group, that was a big announcement toward the end of the year, the group that's going to be doing the batteries, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, that's the tech piece, whether mm-hmm. it's biotech or, well, tech in general. We are positioned well there. So we can leave this on a happy note. The economic development is thriving at this point. But as you know, markets are weird and things are getting strange. We don't know whether we're in a downturn in a bear market or maybe it's going to get better. It's a guessing game we're all playing.
It sure is. Okay, Sharon Bronson, here we go with the new year. I hope you and yours have a healthy new year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Bye.
Bye-bye. Sharon Bronson with us on the Buckmaster Show. That wraps up our 12 full years on the radio as we begin today, year number 13. We'll be back to do it all over again in about 23 hours. My thanks to John, engineering and producing the show, and all of our guests. Thanks a lot. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Bill Buckmaster saying Happy New Year to everybody.